So that's the screen. The screen actually won't jump into action until a little later on. Thanks to Mayor. First, I want to thank Tom and Mark, Carolyn and Gloria, and the many others who help pull the service together. I'm new at this, and it's kind of a big deal for me. Feels like a long time ago when Kent asked whether I would be willing to be here with you on a Sunday morning in January. He mentioned that the theme of the month was possibility. So the title, ergo the title, Clearing the Path, the Possibility of Me, You, and of Us. He mentioned that he also said to just run with the theme, okay? At the time, it felt like an opportunity to casually share a few ideas with you, and that would be that. But of course, as the reality of having agreed to stand here began to sink in, and the day came closer, I wondered what Ken's just run with it might mean. So I did what I typically do. And this is part of why I'm here. I slow down, I find my seat, and I listen. So I have a sweet place in our home where I can slow down and sit on a cushion. So that's what I did. And I listened to the wind blowing in the tree outside our house, branches tapping at the windows. I listened to a distant tune my teenager was playing upstairs. I listened to my life partner, Brad, flipping through the newspaper, occasionally groaning as he read how another nail is being hammered into the coffin of our democracy. As all these sounds found their place in my awareness, I began to tune in and listen more deeply. I hear the rhythmic beating of my heart. I hear the gentle expansion and contraction of my breath. And I hear the pulsation of energy inside my body connecting to all being around me. And I welcome the sensation of life flowing through me as a trusty old friend, a friend that has been with me since the very beginning. It is to this space that I bring those bigger questions in life, including how to shape this sermon. And then I let those questions unfold with each breath. So it became clear that the possibilities embedded in this primal awareness of life flowing through us, accessible to each one of us at any time, that should be the central focus of my time here with you this morning. So we're talking about that basic stuff. We live in a fast-moving world filled with fun and not-so-fun distractions. Social and cultural demands can be intense. The world can be really challenging for us. And we get caught up in habits and self-talk that do not always serve us. It's easy to feel like those baby birds my son Theo read about a moment ago. We can feel blind, totally clueless about the wings that could someday carry us from tree to tree and into the infinite sky. How do we learn to live into the amazing possibility on our life path? So let me start by offering a story. I was 12 when in the 1970s, my parents packed up our relatively quiet lives in suburban Washington, D.C., to move to the Ivory Coast in West Africa. That was a big move. Gone were the routines of growing up in a familiar neighborhood and school. Gon was attending Sunday school at the UU Church in Bethesda. Gone were the times when I could jump on my turquoise chrome bike to spend an afternoon reading mysteries with Mary or climbing trees with my pal Maggie. Gone was our dog, Bob, left behind at my grandmother's house. In a matter of weeks, we were settling into a new home which featured high walls and gates surrounding compounds. I felt I was drowning in the sound of unfamiliar languages, smells that overwhelmed, and sights that initially filled me with dread and uncertainty. I attended a French-speaking school where I lived in daily terror of being called upon to supply an answer to a question I could barely decipher. My biggest fear by far was being called upon for récitation, a class seemingly devoted to torturing students who had to walk up to the front of the room and recite poems out loud. There was, of course, no getting out of this. No amount of begging for a reprieve as a non-French speaker would be considered. So here is the poem by Senegalese poet Birango Diop that I was assigned. And I have a little, here, is it gonna come up? Okay, all right. So this was the poem. I'll recite it to you. It's called Souffle, and you're going to hear the French version. Okay. Écoute plus souvent les choses que les êtres. La voix du feu s'entend. Entends la voix de l'eau. Écoute dans le vent le bruissant en sanglots. C'est le souffle des ancêtres. So I have this feeling that French might be familiar to some of you, but not all. And so here's the English translation of it. And I will read that out loud. I had no access to this translation at the time, okay? Breaths. Listen to things more often than beings. Hear the voice of fire. Hear the voice of water. Listen to the wind, to the sigh of the scrub brush. This is the ancestors breathing. So Birango Diop is the author, and he composed this poem at a critical time in Africa. But at the time, I had become good at emulating sound without understanding what things meant. Okay? I sat, pondered each line, struggling for a way to retain the string of sounds. I composed a song as I tried to make the words stick in my brain. Along the way, slowly, very slowly, without my noticing, the actual meaning of the words sank in, quietly, settling into my bones. The dreaded day came, of course, when I walked up to the front of the room to recite these lines, the French version, right? As my name got called, I felt my heart sink at the prospect of months-long ridicule coming my way from mocking classmates. Can any of you recall your early teen self and relate to this? But here's what happened. When I got up, I experienced a clear sensation of not being alone, of being held in a kind way, which felt very strange after months of feeling trapped in this new alien life of mine. I'm certain it was not an earth-shattering performance, more like a shaky stammering through the lines. But that sensation of not being alone, of something bigger supporting me, encouraged me, indeed gave me wings to fly, and that feeling has stayed with me for a lifetime. Diop composed this poem on the eve of independence for 17 African countries. It was a time of tremendous collective possibility. There's that word again, possibility, in a part of the world that I grew to love. For years to come, I would work in Africa as a Peace Corps volunteer, international development worker, including for the UU Service Committee, and again as a newlywed and UNICEF worker. The poem evokes the powerful connection to all being in the world around us, a connection that is already and always there for us, wherever we stand on the planet. Do any of you feel this? Know this? The voice of water? The voice of fire? And yes, the lines of this poem settled into my bones enough for me to remember them to this day. So you can take the screen up at this point. There's going to be the creaking sound of the screen, but I'll bring up this. I wanted to let you know that I bring this story up because the experience helped me see the possibility of me in the midst of fear, loneliness, and the chaos of life for a rather nerdy, sensitive, and terribly self-conscious young teen. It helped me know that the possibility of me takes shape in the tangle of everyday life when I slow down, find my seat, and listen, and discover that I'm truly never alone. Which brings me to the present moment. Some of you know me as yoga, mindful movement instructor. I've had the honor of guiding several of you through years of practice in ways that have hopefully supported you physically, mentally, perhaps also spiritually. Some of you know me as Maya and Theo's mom. Some of you know me as board member of Weaver's Way Co-op, the Philadelphia School Mindfulness Project, or my work with Mind-Body Leadership for Women. Some of you might know me through my advocacy work and my background in academia. To be clear, my knowledge base lies in experiential learning, group and organizational dynamics. I'm not a scholar of ancient language, but when I teach, I often use the word prana. Prana is the Sanskrit word for life force, the subtle life energy, the vital energy that permeates all reality. Sanskrit is a tonal language. Pra means movement. Na means constant. The two together become something that is constant and that moves. Prana is analogous to chi. In Hausa, the West African language I learned, the term iska has a similar meaning, evoking breath, spirit, divine connection. The practice of yoga, the postures, and pranayama, which is breath retention, Help us recognize how prana, this whole big piece, flows through us, where it might be blocked, and ways to help it flow more freely along the midline of the body, the inner spine. Specifically, this awareness has helped me clear the path to live into the possibility of me. So I can recognize when I need to settle and be still, and when I need to move, when I need to be heavy and take a stand for what I believe with stability, solidity, and clarity around issues that are vitally important to me, and also when to extend outward, expanding into fluid connection with others. This type of listening is also informed by the ebb and flow of the natural world around us, the wisdom of ancestors embedded in all being. So this path is not easy, and those of you who know me through my teaching know that I have my struggles. While I typically start the day sitting in contemplative stillness, I often encounter restlessness, so clearing my path just as often becomes a practice of movement. Along the way, I run into habits that don't serve me. And for myself, these habits are fairly hard to push away. The temptation of inertia is a big habit. The inner fire of impatience is another one. And the insatiable need for affirmation also shows up. I sometimes have an extremely tiresome dialogue with a part of me that insists I'm not good enough, I'm too old, I'm too quiet, I'm too idealistic, too weak, and have an ongoing practice to meet all the naysaying with open-hearted compassion. So now you know a little bit about me and how I clear my path. What about the possibility of you? Think of a time when you felt the presence of prana, spirit, divine connection, whatever you might call it, carry and support you. When you felt your vitality surge up through your being. When you noticed an inner alignment. How do you connect to this part of you? Do you encounter resistance? What is your version of slowing down, sitting, and listening? How do you tap into your own wisdom and clear a path to the possibility of you? And then what about the possibility of us? Us as beloved community. So let's take a moment to experiment in this room. I encourage you to stand up if you like. I'm going to take the other mic. Sitting is fine as well. So, if you don't mind, wherever you are, start stomping the ground. Okay. Make some noise. Sense your feet making contact with the ground. And now just do the heels of your feet. And then focus on your toes. And then the outer edges of your feet. And the inner edges of your feet. Making that noise. Now plant your feet. Okay. And sense whatever vibration, whether there is a small one or one that's really easily to discern,
Draw it up your legs into your knees, past your knees up to your hips. Good. And then sense the legs powering up. So really ground down through your legs. Feel that connection with the ground. And then lift up through your spine. Okay, so that's the opposite direction. Grounding down, lifting up. All right. Good. Reach up. So as you inhale, sense yourself lengthening up. Reaching up, and then as you exhale, sense yourself grounding down. Good. So keep the breath going. Next inhale, take the arms up. Okay, I only have one arm I can put up at this point, but if you have them both up, that's great. Okay, reaching up. So sense the fingertips reaching high. So invite. So this is it's an experiment. Have fun with it. Play with it. See where your fingers, do they want to move inward or outward? Okay, just kind of sense. Lengthening, and with each exhale, reconnect with the ground. Okay, we're just moving. We're joining the bigger presence of prana through this extension. Okay, and maybe you feel something, maybe you don't. Give yourself permission to feel nothing at all if it's not there for you. Okay. Good. And now gently rotate the palm so it's facing, the palm is facing your neighbor, okay? And you're barely touching the palm of your neighbor. And if that neighbor isn't there, if you're at the end, then just sense the presence of prana through your arms, through perhaps a sensation of connection through your fingers. And take another breath. Lengthen. And then release down. Beautiful. All right. So from here, you're free to sit back down. Expanding prana past our body can inspire others. And in the words of Marianne Williamson, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. Life energy or prana has no beginning and no end. It just is. We cannot destroy it. We cannot create it. Okay? We can, I believe, learn to align with it and recognize its shifting states within and beyond us. Perhaps we can learn how to encourage its positive flow through us for the good of the world around us, for the good of beloved community. Whether that shows up in overt acts of social justice or in quiet acts of deep listening, there's room for it all. Thank you.